Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Up the Poshcast, where we are not commenting on a Peterborough United defeat. We talk Bradford and the 1-1 draw. Today, we talk about whether both Darren Ferguson and Graham Alexander actually made mistakes. I think they did. So it'll be interesting to hear your thoughts on that. Charlie and Ash have a big debate about David Akagwe, and Charlie's pretty harsh. Ash is less so. We talk about Kyoso joining, which I am absolutely buzzing about, and so is Max. We also talk about the transfer window in general, and Charlie is a little bit concerned by something that Darren Ferguson has said after the match today, so stick around for that. The episode is sponsored by Smith's Hyundai, and I was joined by Max, Ash and Charlie, so sit back, relax and enjoy this episode of Up the Poshcast.
In Peterborough, match day starts long before kickoff, and whether you're heading to the pub, the ground or just tuning into the podcast, Hyundai gets you there in comfort, style, and with room for your mates. Visit Smith's Hyundai, your local Hyundai experts and proud supporters of Up the Poshcast.
Well, it's not a win, but it is not a defeat, crucially. Charlie, how did you find the game today?
I actually was pretty pleased with what I saw for large parts of the game today. I thought, listen, what we're seeing is a group of players that are giving their all to the cause. I don't think anyone can really doubt that. They really dug in again today. They dug deep. They really kept going to the last. And where we could sometimes criticise the attitude and the desire of the players last season, we absolutely cannot this season. And also, I think what I'm seeing is a steady improvement game on game. Obviously, Cardiff was a bit of a weird one, but since then, it feels like the performances have steadily improved in the league, at least. We felt a bit unlucky after Barnsley, and we definitely deserve to get something out of the game today. And I can slowly see it coming together. I think we do need a couple more signings, but today's game showed me that actually, when we get all of our players fit, we will be a pretty decent team and we'll be competitive and in all the right ways. So I took a lot of positives from the game today, actually, where I was really downtrodden after Tuesday night. I don't have that same feeling today.
Yeah, do you know what, Charlie? I think you're right, aren't you? And it's clear to see that this team that started today needs that reinforcement from the players that we've got out injured and from those signings that we've made. Garbutt came on and sort of changed the game, I thought. And then alongside Frith and Hayes, they did what they needed to do. It wasn't a disappointing way to end the game, I don't think. I think that the draw probably was the fair result. You can't, unfortunately, give teams like Bradford the chance to score the goals that they do, whether that's through a sloppy mistake and a poor touch and turn. You know, what can we do about that? That's the way that it's sort of falling for Posh at the moment. But that's now two games. And I know this seems like nothing. That's two games where we've only conceded the one goal. We were on twos before that. Hopefully next weekend we can make it a zero and then actually score more than one goal as well.
Yeah, I think it was a bit better, but I think it shows how the standards have slipped a little bit, that we're all sort of raving, we're not raving, that would be unfair on YouTube, but talking quite positively about that performance. It was still a home match where we managed fewer than one XG, still a home match where we only had three shots on target, still a home match where for most parts of the game I felt like we really struggled to show any sign of attacking patterns of play, and that has been the story of the season. Whether that comes down to quality or tactics, I don't know. I agree with you guys that the effort levels are there, and I thought for 35 minutes of the first half we were good. I then thought we struggled in the second half quite badly until the subs came on, and towards the end we were pushing for an equaliser. I still think it's worth noting that Bradford changed their team quite heavily and had some of their best players out, so we struggled to create chances against a team that have only just come into this division at home. And although they've started well, didn't have some of their key players playing. So I still think there's a long, long way to go for us before we can start talking too positively. And there's still a lot of attacking quality that I think we're really lacking, to be honest. As much as we can talk effort levels and praise them for that, there is still a worrying lack of quality on the pitch, and nothing's going to change that. That was quite a dull game today, I felt. I didn't think it was great. And although we are making steps in the right direction, I do agree with you. I still think we have a long, long way to go before I'm going to be saying, yeah, that was a really positive performance. I think we'll be fine in the next five games if we keep playing like that, because I don't see it. I think we're still quite a way off where I want us to be and the level we're going to need to be at to consistently pick up the points just to get us out of the relegation zone at this point.
Yeah, look, I'm in the same boat. I think a very worrying thing for me is our attacking fluidity. And I genuinely didn't feel like when we went 1-0 down, I genuinely didn't feel we would score a goal. I didn't. I didn't feel like the attacking patterns were there. They haven't been there all season. But the subs came on and made such a good impact today. And they both Hayes and Frith especially, looked phenomenal. I really think they look really good. And that's something to me that is important, that really we don't know who our starting two wingers are. They're all competing for a spot, and they've come on. They've really given Fergie a headache going into Exeter, because I think both of them played really well and it was a very good performance from both. And really they've come on and saved the game for us, because I actually would have felt quite disappointed if we'd walked away and lost. I felt quite disappointed after Barnsley walking away and losing, but actually after looking at the stats and sort of thinking about it again, a losing probably was harsh, but a fair result. I didn't feel like losing today was a fair result. I don't think either sides had a lot of quality, and that's all we're missing, isn't it? Just a bit of quality in that penalty area and a bit of quality in the build-up. And I think that's going to come when our signings become fit. And we looked a lot better when we had Garbutt, Frith, Hayes. Even when we had Brad and we played the 4-2-4, I felt like we played a lot better. We've still got Woods and Lees to add to this team. So I think overall, we are going to come good. Those attacking patterns are going to improve, and hopefully we can go to Exeter and put our first 3 points on the board.
Yeah, I think it's a bit harsh to blame it on attacking patterns, maybe, Max, because I actually think in open play, we are probably... Well, I mean, we are miles ahead of where we were last season. Absolutely miles ahead. I think we are a really good team from open play, actually. We dominate the ball. We look very comfortable on the ball most of the time, I'd say, especially at home. We get the ball into great areas. I mean, think of the amount of time today where we managed to get our wingers one-on-one. That is, you know, that's a good pattern of play to get into that position. And it is just that final bit of quality for me. It's moments of individual quality. And on the flip side, it's moments of individual lack of quality. You know, you think about that Chuckle Brothers moment with Akagbue and Nevitt in the first half, where one of them's gone to kick it and then it's bounced off him and the other one's gone to try and hoof it away and sliced it behind him, and then Akagbue is giving it away again. Those are the kind of moments we need to cut out. And also, it is just a case of individual quality, which for some of the players, I think it's them playing beneath their level. So some of the players, we haven't seen them enough. And also for some of the players, they're just not good enough when we need new personnel. I don't think there's a fundamental issue with the way the team's playing, the system, or that we are not tactically set up well, or that the patterns of play aren't there. I think it's just we're not capitalising from getting the ball into really good areas a lot of the time. Like we had the ball in some fantastic areas again today and on Tuesday night, and we just didn't do anything with it because of sort of the lack of moments from individuals.
I don't think I agree, ultimately, especially when we talk about attacking fluidity. Players aren't making runs into the box that they should be making, and that's the truth. And when we had Gustav and Brad on, they spent the majority of the game walking in and around the centre-backs rather than making any clever runs or coming and showing for the ball. It didn't feel like they were doing either of that. There was no hold-up and run-off. You know, when I talk about attacking fluidity, it's something that we do lack. And players aren't at the back post when they need to be. Players aren't on the penalty spot when they need to be. When we're pulling the ball back, it doesn't look like we know where we're pulling the ball back to. It doesn't look like our players know where there's a space to pull it back to. Same with the crossing. The crossing really didn't beat the first man a lot today. And when we did beat the first man, it was too high for anybody to get on top of. And that's something that worries me. We're rumoured to be signing a striker and a winger before the window shuts. I'm sure that attacking fluidity will change because I do agree that there is elements of individual quality as part of our errors. But what I will say is, in terms of pattern of play in the final third, I do think we've struggled a lot this season, and it's something that I don't think has improved massively since the start of the season.
I think, Max, I think I'm more in your camp than Charlie's here. I think Charlie actually summed it up when he said something about there's a lack of moments. And it feels to me like we're very reliant on individual moments rather than team play to create big chances. I can't remember the last time a striker went one-on-one, for instance, after we passed the ball through a team. It's always get it out to the winger, swing across in. Get it out to the winger, try and get him past the fullback. But the main point I wanted to make was I actually was quite frustrated with Darren Ferguson today. I think he got away with picking a very odd team for the fact that we drew. We looked way better when our subs came on, but I think pretty much every supporter in the stadium could have told you that that would be the case, because I'm frustrated that he started Oddo and Lindgren again for seemingly no reason to me. They both came on Tuesday night and they both had absolute howlers. I don't think there's anyone that would dispute that. And then you go and reward them with a start. I don't get that thought process at all, if I'm honest. And again, neither of them really did anything today. I don't think they were as bad as they were on Tuesday night. But once again, Lindgren was anonymous and Oddo ran one of some corners, which is an improvement for Oddo, but it's still not great. And when Oddo went off the pitch, we scored down his side. Now, for me, I've had a lot of sympathy with Fergie, and I still do, because I think he's hamstrung by the squad that he's got. But when you start making, in my opinion, illogical decisions and picking out players that just don't have any justifiable reason to start over players that we would all rather see, you then have to start proving that you've made the right decision. And I don't think the performance today did that. I think actually it proved, if anything, that he made the wrong decision. So he needs to buck his ideas up as much as the players do. And we've criticised the players a lot. But today, I think, was the first game where I think Fergie made a blunder as well, because I don't think Bradford were great. I really don't think they were great. I think they were there for the taking. Like I say, that might have come down to the changes that they made, because they're obviously a team in form. But did anyone think they were special today? I didn't think so. And I think if we had our strongest team on the pitch from the start, we may well have got something more than a point out of that game, but who knows?
Yeah, John, I think it's a difficult one, really, because I actually didn't think that Gustav was that bad today. I know that you guys probably disagree with that slightly, but I thought he did his job. He linked up well with Lolos. Obviously, he's had a little bit of a snapshot. Yes, there were times in the second half where he looked like a small bloke against big, strong defenders. But ultimately, that's not his game, is it? He doesn't want to have his back to goal. He wants to be side on and running through. And if Poch aren't going to produce those moments for him, like we say, is that really on his back when he's the man leading the line? You say that that was a surprise to see Gustav in over Brad, but what has Brad done over the previous four games to justify staying in the team? Ultimately, he hasn't done a lot other than score a penalty. There's been times where he's been massively frustrating and it's looked like we've needed a change. So I think that that's probably fair to bring Gustav in. Oddo, on the other hand, is a difficult one. I actually thought that when he did run at players, he looked quite good today. The problem is that he doesn't do it often enough. And then when he does occasionally do it, he appears to have like Ricky J. Jones's boots on again and he's falling over. So it was definitely steps in the right direction. Of course, when we saw the team sheet and it was Oddo and Lindgren, that was as a surprise to me as it was everybody. I personally thought that it was going to stick Lolos up top rather than Gustav or Brad, or the way that he'd made his comments on Friday's interview. But I don't think that Gustav was as bad as has been made out. I was relatively impressed. He just needs to find his space. And when they're going to play defensive formations like they did today, I thought he's not going to get a great deal of space, is he?
Yeah, I get that side of things. And I actually do think both Gustav and Oddo were not anywhere near as bad as some people are making out today. Listen, I'm far from their biggest fans. And I think more what annoyed me is the precedent that it sets, that you can play absolutely stinky on Tuesday night and still get a start on Saturday. That really frustrated me, because it felt like, you know, Tuesday night, they were the two worst players on the pitch by a long way. And I think a lot of people were very angry at them. A lot of people said that they don't want to see them even play for the club again. So I think it was just a bit of a kick in the teeth to see them in the lineup, you know, at 150 when the media team finally put it out. I think the other thing is that the fact that we don't have the option of like a good player waiting in the wings is something that we're not really used to even now. Even after last season, it felt like, you know, if Ricky wasn't playing well, there are a couple of options. Now it just feels like there is very little that Fergie can do, because Addo should in theory be starting every week for us this season because of the place that he's in his Peterborough United career. He's a second season big signing, but he's just not in that place. Lisby, you know, is good, but not quite there yet. Frith didn't really look fit to start. Obviously, Garbutt was nowhere near fit to start. Didn't really look very fit to play when he came on. It was very obvious that he hasn't played, you know, competitive football in a while to me. Very obvious. He looked a cut above quality-wise, but he was just not quite there fitness-wise. But yeah, it's frustrating going to games. And I think I said before kickoff, I just hope we get to 60 minutes 0-0 here, and then I think we'll win. But it just felt like we were waiting for those subs before anything was going to happen in that game. I had no faith in that starting team to go out there and do anything.
I'm not sure that I actually saw the fitness issues that you did. Certainly with Frith, I thought he looked really lively when he came on, Charlie. I didn't really necessarily think that he didn't look fit to start. I thought he pretty much demanded the ball from the instant he came on. And I actually really liked his bit of play for the goal. I thought there were sparks before that where he looked good as well. But the step over the ball and then the ability to beat a man is really key. But the best bit about it, I think, is he didn't take the easy option. And this, for me, sums up the difference between Addo and Frith already. And it might be too early to say this, but I've watched a lot of games of Addo. And I believe if that ball was played into him, I think he just takes it to feet. I don't think he tries the step, which obviously created the space. I don't think he tries something that risky. I then love the fact that he could have taken a corner, right, and taken the easy route out. But actually, he wanted to keep the ball in play. He saw the opportunity to keep it in play, flicked it to Hayes, and it's a nice finish in the end. I think on both those opportunities, and I've seen Addo, he's very risk averse. I've seen him so many times. I think Addo would have just taken the corner and passed the responsibility of putting the ball in the box to somebody else. But Frith didn't. And I don't think that's a coincidence that he came on and we scored that goal, because we are talking moments and we've already mentioned moments, but Frith does look like a player that will carry that responsibility and try and produce a moment for you. And I was really encouraged by his performance, actually. So I'm quite liking what I'm seeing from Frith. Lisby on the other side, don't think he was as good as Tuesday night. But again, there are moments with him where he definitely wants to put the effort in, doesn't he? And he does look raw and he does look like he's learning the level, but I do see some signs of promise there. I don't want to go overboard on him, but I think there's enough with Frith and Lisby that you can probably get behind them. And Hayes as well. I think Hayes deserves a shout for his impact off the bench. He is becoming a very good impact sub. So if we can find a fourth winger, real quality between now and the end of the window that starts, those are your four wing options, I think. I don't care about Addo. He's got to go. I've said that enough times. But I think because those four as your wingers, I think there's decent enough options. I'm really looking forward to Frith getting... I mean, you said he's not fit. I didn't really see that. But I want to get him back match fit. I want to get him starting games again. And I really hope he does it Exeter next weekend.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing here, isn't it? And actually, one thing that I would say about Lisby and Frith is that it was a weird selection from Fergie, because we sort of had our two left wingers on the pitch at the same time, and then he made a change and we had our two right wingers on the pitch at the same time. I think if you put Lisby over on the left and then you have Frith on the right, I think it's probably a completely different game today, because both like to cut in. Not to say that either did a terrible performance from where they were, but it's a clear shift in the tactic to sort of get to the byline. And that runs back to what Max said, is that we need to work on the play in the box, because we've got players cutting the ball back or winning corners and there just doesn't seem to be anybody there. Now, fingers crossed, somebody like Garbutt will be able to take up that position on the edge of the box and approach it and carry it forwards and start scoring us some goals. I want Garbutt to be like Frank Lampard, if that makes sense, and hopefully he can be that late arrival. Maybe he's not going to score 200 goals or whatever it is, 250 goals, but I agree with John in saying that, yes, they don't quite look match fit, but it's important. Now we've got a week off, haven't we? So fingers crossed they can get them running around and get them up to sharpness, because it's important that these players that we've signed, Frith, Garbett, they start next week for me.
Yeah, I think if they're fit to start, I would start all of them. I think the fitness issues with Frith was obviously, I think he looked sharp when he came on. It's just, I think if he'd been fully fit to start, he probably would have started. With Garbett, I think the fitness issues were quite obvious. I don't think he was up to match speed necessarily, but what you can say with Garbett is he does look like a good player. Like, you can tell there's enough in there. Obviously, he scored for the 21s in the half that he played in the week. He looks like he is going to be really good for us. Looks physically big and powerful. Looks like he'll be able to run with the ball, but looks like he's got the vision and sort of the sharpness to create opportunities for teammates as well. And also, it was nice to see whenever the ball went wide, he picked up that really nice like area that a midfielder can occupy on the edge of the box, where if the ball came in, he wouldn't be stood there waiting for it like we often see Donnell Brian Brady do, which is the ball comes to his feet, he then takes a touch and opens up his body. It looked like Garbett was waiting for the ball to come in so that he could arrive onto it and hit it first time. And that's what I like to see. That's very proactive and very mature from him. I would love to see him start Exeter. I'd love to see Frith start Exeter too. I think his impact was massive. And to be fair, I think with Frith and with Garbett, we've got some quality. Those are players with a higher calibre than the ones that we've had to play with. I think we were really unlucky with Frith's injury. But if he can carry on performing like that, I'd love to see him on the right-hand side being able to cut in. I know he didn't do it great against Cardiff, but he still won us a penalty at the end of the day. I'd like to see him back on that right-hand side, back on his natural side. And then if we are going to sign a winger this week, I'd love that winger to be a left-sided player to play alongside Frith, because I think he's probably, out of all of the attacking signings we've made this summer, Frith is the one that I'm most excited about right now.
I agree with Garbett and Frith about match fitness and also their play. Another central midfielder that I really wanted to talk about was Keller. I'm really struggling to find where I sit with Keller, because I thought he was really good against Barnsley. I think he was, as John said on the last episode, I think he was industrious. He did his job. He was good going forward. He's hit the bar. And he looked busy, which is something that I quite liked. And today it was so hot and cold, it felt. And when it was cold, it was freezing. When it rains, it pours, sorts of thing. Like, it's not necessarily his ability that I'm worried about, but getting caught off the ball or making that error on the ball to give it away is something that is hard, especially when you're getting pressed like that and not turning away and passing it out and avoiding the pressure, instead putting the pressure on back facing away from the goal that you're shooting towards, was something that I was a bit concerned about. And also there was a few misplaced passes today, which I felt hindered attack when we were going forward, which again is something that I am worried about. But again, he's young and I'm not expecting him to start every game, especially when we've got the likes of Woods coming back from a hand injury and we've got the likes of Garbett getting back up to match fitness. I'm not overly concerned in that case. So it's just a matter of letting him develop in his own time and hopefully ironing some of the mistakes out that we've sort of seen in shades. Like, it's not like it's been every game, has it, where he's made mistakes. Like, he has been good, but today I didn't think he had his best performance.
Yeah, I'm sure that Brandon Keller will be as disappointed as everybody that ultimately his poor turn led to the Bradford goal. But I think what's probably important to reflect on him is that's now 6 starts on the bounce for him. That's probably the first time that he started this many games and played such an important piece in a team. And like you say, Max, we are building a team that is going to be able to rotate. Let's say that we've got 6 midfielders. They'll all be able to rotate and play each other's positions. And I think that's going to be important for us as we move into the season. One player that really actually impressed me in the first half, maybe dropped off in the second half, was Archie Collins. He, for me, was the reason that we went in at 0-0. He really did his job well and picked up the scraps where there was some mistakes in the back line. And that he's maybe not been fully committed to the cause, but today it really felt like he was willing to put his body on the line and pick up all the pieces. So no real qualms from me on Archie Collins.
Yeah, me neither. I feel like I very rarely have anything to say on Archie Collins, good or bad. He is just that player that you can always rely on, it feels like. You know, he's that sort of 6.5, 7 out of 10 every week, in my opinion. I think he was the most... he was very industrious again today. We would have been so much worse off defensively without him. I think people often get drawn into the trap of criticising Archie Collins because they feel like he slows the play down. But actually, it's just because whenever the ball's at his feet, we're safe for a moment. So when we're under a bit of pressure, him just taking the ball and just taking it away from the game and just slowing everything down is quite good, especially when we've got a bit of chaotic energy around him at the moment. Talking about chaotic energy, I thought Lady Lolos looked a bit fitter today. I enjoyed his performance, actually. I think some people have been quite critical of it. I thought Lolos was good today. I think he is more than happy to take the ball in a tight area of space. He has the bravery to do that. I don't think he ever sort of shirked the ball being given to him. He tries to turn with the ball. Yes, he makes mistakes, but we're always going to have, you know, players making mistakes. He gave the ball away, I think, in one instance and was quite lucky to win a foul. But he has, I think, decent vision. He is technically good, great close control. He will be fit for this system. I think the club are really confident about his signing, and I can understand why. I think that number 10 role, he will make that his own in this system, a bit like Joel Randle did. I know we aren't the biggest fans of him, but Joel Randle really made that number 10 role his own, and it became one of the most important in this system. And I think Lolos, given time, will do the exact same thing.
I think one player we haven't mentioned so far and someone who deserves a fair degree of credit is George Nevitt. I still think we're probably exposing him to too many first team minutes at this point. But the last two games, I think he's played well, hasn't he? He hasn't looked out of his depth at all. Decent on the ball again today, I thought. And Bradford are a physical side. And that's one of the areas of the game where he struggled before. And he didn't really... I didn't feel like he was troubled that much today either. So I just wanted to give him a bit of a shout. It's one of those performances which wasn't amazing. It's not anything to write home about. But we've seen Nevitt before look way out of his depth without meaning to sound too harsh. But actually, maybe there are signs that he has progressed over the summer. I think, Charlie, you said on the last episode that he looks a bit more physically imposing now. And I agree with that. He doesn't seem to get ragdolled quite as much. I think he's winning more of his headers, which is a good sign. And he doesn't look quite so much of a fish out of water at the minute. And he's not playing alongside somebody that's playing particularly well, I don't think, in a Kagwe. Didn't think he was great again today. And actually, Nevitt, over the last two games, out of the two centre-backs, has been the one that's performed more impressively for me. So fair play to George Nevitt. He's still young enough, and there's still enough there that I feel like we shouldn't be writing him off just yet. Yes, he needs to improve in a lot of areas, but he is only 19. He is being overplayed. And I think as a reserve choice where we bring him in occasionally, I think there is something there with him. Whether he ever makes it is still very much the jury's out, but he's doing okay at the minute and he's doing the job that we need him to do. So well done, George Nevitt, for today.
Yeah, there's still some shaky moments, isn't there, with Nevitt. Charlie mentioned it earlier, when him and Okagboy sort of, I don't even know what happened in our box. It was like passing one to the other, like a game of hot potato, and just trying to get rid of it. And both of them seem to make a bit of a calamity from it. But again, we've mentioned it before with George Nevitt. What really impresses me with him is that standing on the ball and composing himself and then picking the right pass. He's not afraid to split the line and send the ball into midfield either, which again is something that I do enjoy watching because I really do feel it helps. I feel like we can be quite predictable sometimes when both of our centre-backs just go full-back, full-back to winger, winger at the byline, cross into the box. I feel like we can be quite easily picked out when we do that. But when Nevitt starts, it's like a fearless ball into midfield that does actually make us a little less predictable. And that helps, again, as I've spoken about, with that attacking pattern. And his defence, I feel, has come on leaps and bounds. You know, if we look at last year, he gets spun all the time. He didn't have any recovery pace to keep up with his man. That is a lot, is seen a lot less nowadays. Well, the last two performances. I don't really think he's been spun by anybody. And I don't feel like he's had to, you know, the pace that was such a worry about George Nevitt, I didn't feel has been much of an issue, because I feel like he's been so good on the ball and he's been fine defensively that he hasn't, that sort of weakness hasn't come up. So really good. I'm really happy that he's developing on and hopefully, but you know, he can establish himself in the team if that's the direction. But again, he's only 19 years old. He's got a lot of room to grow, but his ceiling is something that is very high and has really impressed me.
Yeah, I think to his credit, George Nevitt, I think obviously we had two very inexperienced centre-backs today, but we have one that has got, you know, nearly 100 EFL appearances and one that has got under 30. And it feels like George Nevitt looks like the more experienced of the pairing. I think Akagbue was quite poor today. I've actually been quite... I've praised Akagbue quite a bit since he's come in, but I thought today was probably the worst he's looked, especially on the ball. I thought he was turgid at times, summed up by a moment later on in the game where he basically had a free header, like the ball sort of came over to him. It was in stoppage time. And rather than headering the ball forward, he just headed it straight out of play. Fergie found it really frustrating. I found it really frustrating. I think Akagbue is desperate not to make mistakes, which I get. As a new signing and as a young centre-back, I get it. And also, we have criticised our defenders in the past for not thinking that way and for not just doing the basics right. And I think Dave does do the basics right most of the time. But I'd love him to show just a tiny bit more ambition, you know. There was very little risk with trying to head the ball to a posh player in that moment that I just spoke about. And it feels like he's playing with sort of stabilisers on, which isn't helping him. I thought... Or he looks like he was getting bullied a bit physically today. He's another one, though, that in years gone by probably wouldn't have played as many minutes as he has. He's, I think, played full 90s in every single game, which is not, you know, ideal at all for a player that's just signed and is a young player. There's something in there. I really do. I feel like Akagbue is going to be good for us. I do. I have that feeling deep down that he is going to be a very solid player for us. I think, listen, he's younger than Manny Fernandez, but I think he's better than Manny was last season now. Certainly looks a lot less error prone, but I'd love to see a bit more ambition from him. His bedding in time has been done now. Sort of, we're six games into the season. Let's now start to show a little bit more ambition, because I'm not expecting him to be Ronnie Edwards, but also he has a great enough understanding of the system and the way we play now that he should be looking to show a bit more creativity on the ball.
You know, I actually think that's really harsh to expect so much of him after six games. We've given players like Otto a whole season and then we're saying, right, this is his season. So does Akagbue not deserve a similar sort of thing? We've already admitted that he probably shouldn't have played six games back to back, let's say. There was a point in time today where it looked like we were going to see Leeds come on, but then we conceded, and nobody wants to see a defender come on at 1-0 down, do they? If we'd have was still 0-0, I'm sure that we would have seen Leeds for 30 minutes. So to expect so much and expecting to know the system and know his role when he's had his centre-back partner change, he's had his right-back partner change, his right-back partner's gone over to left-back. I actually think that's quite harsh, Charlie, personally.
Yeah, but as I said, I'm not asking him to be Ronnie Edwards, and he's not a baby. Like, he isn't George Nevitt. We've not plucked him out of non-league. He played over 50 games for a team that were in the top five in League Two for the entire season last season. He was starting every week. Like, he should be able to play a forward pass every now and again, and he should be able to, you know, if the ball is coming towards him, have the foresight to head the ball forwards rather than head it out in the 97th minute. I mean, I'm not asking him to be a world beater. I'm just asking him to... Let's not be a caveman here. Let's not just do the exact basics. Let's show a little bit of ambition. We are a club that likes to play football. We're a club that dominates the football. Let's use it, you know? Let's not just be happy to let the ball bounce off us and out for a throw-in. Let's see if we can angle it to a winger, maybe, Dave. That would be great, wouldn't it? Let's see if we can start a counter-attack, Dave. Let's do it. I just think I'm fed up of giving him the chance to just do the complete basics. Fair play, he's doing them right, and that's better than some of our players in the past have done. But you're at Peterborough United now. You're at a higher standard. If we want the players to get better and we want the standard to increase, then we have to set that as fans and set expectations that once every now and again, breaking a line wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the incredibly harsh line, Charlie, and just sort of remind you that he's not playing in League Two anymore where he played his 50 games. He is in League One now, and it's a step up. We've seen it with lots of players that we've signed. I'm confident that he will make that step up in time, but he needs to be given that time. Look, we look back to somebody like Carl Johnston. Fair enough. We all think that he probably wasn't that great. I think that now we're all in a position where we could confidently say that he's probably been our best player so far this season consistently. Across the six games, I've not seen a great deal from anybody else. He's not really put a foot wrong. And to be switched over to left back and put in a shift against some relatively good right wingers, I've been really impressed with Carl Johnston so far this season. And I was critical against Leicester and some of the other performances. I think it was Kings Lynn where we all said he looked really poor and looked like he couldn't play the level. That's a non-league level. He's miles ahead of that. And actually, he's a really important part of the team at the moment and is probably the leader on the pitch with Sam Hughes being out.
That's a big thing with CJ, isn't it? And I was extremely critical after the Kings Lynn game because it just looked like he'd just jockey forever. He'd literally sort of squat and just wait for the winger to do something and then end up getting skinned. And that was something that really concerned me going into a League One season where we didn't look overly impressive. Is Carl Johnston going to be able to make that step up? And ultimately, he's done that and more. I agree. I think he has probably been our best player so far this season. I think he's been defensively solid. And I really do think that he's so integral to not only this group, but to the way I want to play, especially when you look at the way he stays back during set pieces. When the wingers running at him, he's very clever. And when he makes a tackle and when he holds the man up today, especially their winger was trying to knock it past him, and or even when the midfielder had it and the winger started to make the run, Carl Johnston was never asleep. He'd run with him and track the man all the way through and ended up winning the ball more times than the winger got past him. And that's something that's really good, really key for a back four as well, to make sure your fullback's really strong. And that's exactly what Carl Johnston did today, was really strong. And if you continue on that level, I'm over the moon with having Carl Johnston in the side.
I don't know if anyone's over the moon with having Carl Johnston inside, Max. I mean, really? Like, yeah, he's playing all right, but we've scored two goals this season. And I think he is playing well. Not all right. He is playing well for Carl Johnston. But there is a reason we have scored two goals this season. And I think part of that is because Carl Johnston is quite ill-fitting for the system, because he isn't great going forward. And that is feeding into some of our problems that we're having. Yes, Carl Johnston has been much improved on last season. Yes, his defending is good. But for Fergie's system, he is not the right player. And we talk about Akagwe, and I'm kind of with you, Charlie, that he does need to progress it more. But I have questions over whether he is the right fit for the system, because I think he's done a decent job this season. I don't think he's been poor at all. But Fergie wants his centre-backs to play out, right? Can Akagwe do that? We've not seen that much evidence. Fergie wants his full-backs to maraud forward, bomb on, get crosses in. We've watched it from Mark Little to Tommy Rowe to Peter Kyoso, who we'll go on to later. That is how Ferguson teams play. They always have done. Carl Johnston can't do that role. So I do have questions among the recruitment of them. And as good as Carl Johnston was today, and I do think he deserves credit because his defending is fine, I also think one of the problems we're having with scoring can be attributed to the fact that both Carl Johnston and even Dornelli today weren't great going forward. And really, none of our fullbacks have been great going forward this season, when in past seasons, they've been a major part of our attacking play.
I agree that Cole Johnson's not the most phenomenal player going forward. I felt today there was moments where he looked far improved going forward than he has done all season. There was a moment in the penalty box where he carried the ball up, he played the ball into midfield, and then he continued that run and ended up having an opportunity to give it to one of the strikers. I think it was Brad at the time, or at least play a clever ball into the penalty box that ultimately just got intercepted and cleared away. But it's still an improvement on that. Yes, I agree that fullbacks in Fergie's system do like to bomb on, but equally, I think we'd be even more defensively susceptible to counter-attacks or even a diagonal ball into a winger with fullbacks bombing on with the centre-backs. You know, let's look at the Oxford team, for example. We had Ronnie Edwards and Josh Knight to defend that, and Collins or Kipriana, whichever of the two wanted to sit in between those two, really forming a back three. Never in a Cagboy, for example, are not anywhere near the level of those two players. So we had an opportunity for fullbacks to bomb on. I don't think defensively we would be capable to do that with our fullbacks playing higher than usual. And we might score more goals doing it, but I think we concede far more. And I think defensively, he's probably been our best player. And that's got to count for something with Carl Johnson. So, yeah, look. Over the moon to have Carl Johnson in the side probably isn't the right phrase to use. I agree. But in terms of defending and a leader, you can't question that. And in this team where we have a much weaker back line, I don't think fullbacks attacking over and over and over again it would be clever, because I think we would concede far more goals than we have done.
Yeah, I think that's fair points from all. I do agree with John that I don't think Carl Johnston is the best fullback for a Fergie system. And I think, you know, we'll talk about the signing we made on Friday night, but I think there's a reason we made that signing. And that's because of the profile of player that is currently in that role. One player that I will say, though, does fit Fergie's system quite well, and I'm pleasantly surprised by this player, is Vicente Reyes. I think he's been a real positive for me over the last couple of weeks. I didn't love his debut at Accrington. I thought he looked nervy. But since then, I've been really impressed with him. He looks great on the ball, like really assured, both short and long stuff. He's happy to be pressed. He looks so much more composed. He looks like a good decision maker. There's been a couple of times where he's been given the ball in a compromising area and he's just hit it long, which is something that we begged Bilicapic to do for years. And he looks like a decent enough shot stopper. He doesn't look like he's going to make any Gordon Banks-esque World Cup winning saves. But he looks like if the ball was given to him, he will make his best effort to save it. He holds on to stuff decently well. And on the ball, yeah, he's been a real positive. He looks very, very assured. And I'm really pleased. Alex Bass obviously will take the number one shirt when he's fit. There's no doubt in my mind that that will be the case. And Reyes will go back to Norwich in January. But considering what we were told by Cambridge fans, I think, I'm very, very pleasantly surprised.
I think Reyes' form, and I agree with everything you just said, Charlie, is a really damning indictment on Bilicapic, because Cambridge fans said Reyes was the worst goalkeeper they have ever seen, I believe, was one of my friends who's a season ticket holder at Cambridge told me that. He looks comfortably better than Bilicapic. So what were the levels that Bilicapic was serving us up? Because I agree with you, Charlie. I think Reyes has been pretty good, Accrington aside. And ball at feet, he is very, very composed. There are still moments with his shot stopping that he's got away with one on Barnsley where it was like that free kick that hit the post and ballooned up out of his hands. But in general, he's been pretty encouraging. And as a backup number two, he might be one of our better backup number twos that we've had in a long time, actually. Because normally we have somebody very inexperienced or just not qualified at all to play. But Reyes, I feel like once Bass comes in, if Bass gets injured again, which touch wood he won't, I actually have a degree of confidence that Reyes isn't that big a drop off in standard from our number one, which is a nice change compared to usual.
Yeah, I don't think that we'll be sending Reyes back in January. I think that we'll keep him for the season. I think that we'll extend it, provided that, of course, we can get rid of Blackmore and Bilo out of the club, because I don't think it's really fair on Bastian Smith to expect that from him. Obviously, he's sitting there on the bench now because Fergie doesn't want either of the two in the squad, Blackmore and Bilo. So do you want it? We saw it with Finn Talley, but Finn Talley had sort of Premier League experience, didn't he, with Brighton, I think it was at the time. I think the only person really left to talk about is probably Brad. Now, he obviously had that cameo sort of 10, 15 minutes at the end. He didn't really do a great deal. And I think that that is my main gripe. I've obviously put a tweet out tonight before we recorded and said that he's doing all this like fan G-ing up nonsense. He just needs to focus on what's happening on the grass and focus what's happening on the pitch. Like, there was no point today for me where I thought that the crowd were really on the players' backs and weren't behind the team. He is doing things that don't really need to do. And like normally when you see it and you watch like Premier League teams do it, and you see it obviously more on the TV, it gets a reaction from the crowd. Newcastle are really good at it when they put in one of those massive tackles. They've done something. Brad is not doing anything at the moment to justify hyping up the crowd. He really needs to focus on doing his job and putting the ball at the back of the net, because he could have won the game for Posh today, I think, if he'd have taken a better touch in the box. And then he would have had the chance to celebrate with all the fans. But if he's not going to focus on that, then, you know, I would rather Gustav in the team over Brad, because I think that Gustav offers a little bit more for us at the moment.
Before we finish on the game itself, we like to talk a little bit about the opposition side. And my impression of Bradford today was I thought they were pretty poor for the sort of the first 35 minutes. And then they dominated the game until about 65 minutes, where their pressing looked really good. They looked well drilled. And then actually, I thought it was a bit of a managerial mistake, because they seemed to go into time-wasting, stalling mode where they brought on a lot of defenders. Their players were just constantly going down. Max Power, obviously very experienced, trying to break up the play. And I get it. Sometimes it works and you get through games doing that. But it felt like they had a bit of the upper hand at that stage, and they employed that tactic. And it kind of gave us a little bit of thrust, because our subs came on and we had them pinned in. And actually, I think they, towards the end, although we didn't create loads, we definitely looked the more likely side to go and win it from after it went 1-0. In injury time, we were well on top at that stage. And if the game had gone on for maybe another 10 minutes, I actually think we probably would have taken the 3 points. So for me, they should have just kept attacking. I did find it a little strange that they kind of gave up their momentum and impetus to try and see out the game by being, I guess you'd call it, streetwise, and doing the dark arts when they were kind of on top at that time. So I can see why they're up there. I can see why they pick up points. They remind me a little bit of a poorer Wrexham in that sense, that they're not particularly pretty on the eye, but they're very well drilled. They know what they're doing. They press you hard in your own third, and that kind of caused the mistake from Keller. It was a good, really good team press that. And that will get them points in League One for sure, because we've seen teams, the dross at the bottom of the table generally looks very unorganised, and they did look organised. But today, I did think maybe their manager will look at it and think maybe we should have just kept attacking and tried to get a second, rather than it felt like trying to sit back and scrape a 1-0.
Yeah, John, I think you're right, actually. And I just wanted to probably say thank you to Graham Alexander for not starting Humphreys and Sasevic today, because Humphreys came on and pretty much won every single header that he had, and Sasevic just looked busy. So whether that was a tactical change to press slightly differently, I think it actually really benefited Posh and helped Posh in the first 70 minutes not feel under so much pressure. Obviously, Humphreys came on and, like I said, won pretty much every single header and looked a threat. He didn't quite have the final product with his shot, but overall, I wasn't actually that impressed by Bradford. Now, I don't know whether that sort of just says that they're on the, you know, like the crest of, they've been promoted and now they're going to level off and they'll still win games. Obviously, they're not going to finish bottom. I've seen enough from Bradford today that they're not going to get relegated. But I think that over the next sort of month or two, that we'll start to see them becoming what I would say is an average League One team. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Posh come the end of the season in and around the same positions as Bradford.
Yeah, I think it is important to note, obviously, we were quite pleased, a lot of us, with elements of the performance today, but it was against quite a second string Bradford team in terms of, you know, their first choice front three, all three of them were benched. Usually it's Point and Humphreys and Sasevic, and not a single one of those started. And the fact that managers feel comfortable doing that at London Road does unsettle me a bit. I did think it was weird tactics from Bradford. I wouldn't have sat back as much as they did. But then again, it worked for a lot of the game. And after, to be fair, after we scored, they managed to take the sting out of that last sort of 10 minutes of injury time really well. I think, yeah, they're experienced. I call them the anti-Posh on Countdown to Kickoff because it just felt like they were everything we weren't. But I don't think they were as... I was expecting them to absolutely bully us. And I don't think we were bullied today by any stretch of the imagination. I think we were outfoxed at times. And I think we were the masters of our own downfall at times. And I think Bradford knew that if they just sort of waited and did the basics right, eventually we'd make a mistake. But yeah, I thought they weren't, you know, they didn't set the world alight. And if that is the standard, then I back us to be in and around the same place as them, as well as you, Ash. I back us to be around them by the end of this season.
Bold, bold shouts. Well, one man who is going to help us get up the table, I am almost entirely convinced, is Peter Kyoso. I am so excited that he's coming back. But Max said that he doesn't want any attacking fullbacks in this team. So I'm assuming you're really disappointed with the news.
No, I'm not. I'm not disappointed with the news, of course. I was absolutely heartbroken when we didn't get him back in January. And the season went on that January. The season went on and I felt like if we'd signed him back, we probably would have gone on and gone up. It was for me, he was so integral to how that team played. And then last season, and then obviously signing him back this summer is such a good signing for us. I think, as I said a few episodes ago, we've been really struggling for fullback with Rio Adebisi being injured, that we're having to play Mills or Dornelli. And obviously we've now switched to have Johnston playing as our left back. But ultimately, in an ideal scenario, we'd have two fit fullbacks so that we wouldn't have to put so much pressure on the younger fullbacks. This, having an experienced person who's been around Posh, who's succeeded in a Darren Ferguson system and is now going to be able to play for us and hopefully get to the heights of what he was, despite the team being definitely a lot worse, I think is so good. And his ability to get up the pitch, help in an attacking sense, but also have an element of defending is something key. Oxford fans said that he has struggled to defend in the Championship. That's not something I'm worried about at the level below. Again, feels like it's a familiar face. We've seen this story before. And hopefully, if we can get a system where, again, we can go back to having that back three and having the fullbacks bomb on, we'll be hopefully a lot better in attacking fluidity and scoring goals. But will we lose a defensive element with Kyoso? I don't know. That's something we're going to have to wait and see on, but it's not going to dampen my excitement or my mood because I am so happy that we've got this deal done and it is a real mood swinger in terms of getting over the line and getting to the end of the transfer window.
I think that's the key, Max, that actually it's a signing that really transforms the mood a little bit. We know that Kyoso is a good player. There's been a lot of signings that Posh have made for the last sort of 18 months, which ultimately we didn't really have much of an idea about. Even someone like Garber or Frith or Lindgren or Valin, none of us have ever seen them play before they arrive at Posh, really. But Kyoso, we know exactly what he's about. We know he's a leader. 99% of fans loved him in his first time at the club. It's a really good signing, I think. I've actually seen some people say as well, you know, we've already got two right backs in Dornelli and Johnston. Why sign another one? There's other areas of the squad that are more important to upgrade. And I can kind of get the argument, but actually I think we're doing exactly what an ambitious football club should do. There was a better option on the market than what we've got, a miles better option than what we've got. Go and get them. That's exactly how you improve as a football team. It doesn't matter that you've got two half decent ones. Worry about them in the future. We can loan Dornelli out or we can sell Carl Johnston at this point. I'm not that bothered. We've got a really good player now. And when you look at that defence, and Max, you might be worried about going forward, well, our starting defence, when it's fully fit, will be Hughes and Lees, who are really good League One defenders, really. They're pretty robust. I think they'll cope with an attacking fullback next to them. And we have lacked so much going forward. Kyoso will offer so much in that area. We'll have somebody bombing on. I'm really excited to watch him play with Frith, Lisby, Hayes, whoever's down that side. I'm excited to watch his link up. This is the most excited I've been about a Peterborough transfer in a long time. Actually, I can't even remember the last time I got this excited about a transfer, because I know we're getting a good player. I loved Kyoso the first time. We would have won the league if we signed him last time. This time, I think, is the signing that, remember, I predicted us to finish 21st. I do not think we'll be relegated now. And I think a lot of that is owed to Peter Kyoso. I do qualify this. We do need a striker. But I am very... it increased my optimism levels considerably.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing, isn't it, with this signing, is that it's late on a Friday night. We've had a terrible run of games and there's just no energy within the club, isn't there? And DMAC does what DMAC does and pulls a rabbit out of the hat, and all of a sudden everybody's buzzing and the mood changes immediately, doesn't it, with somebody like Peter Kyoso. Obviously, there was maybe one rumour of Josh Knight coming back, and that didn't happen. And when that Portsmouth announcement came through, that probably knocked a few people back, because they had the idea that they were going to, that we were going to sign Josh Knight. But bringing Kyoso back, that we've discussed it, I don't think he's the best defender, but we're trending in the right direction, and maybe there's a chance that we switch to a back three with the wing backs, and we can use Mills, we can use Kyoso, and we can really start to attack people, because that's what it doesn't feel like we've had. My main concern is what this means for somebody like James Stornelli. Now, he doesn't really feel like he's been given a fair crack at the whip. Yes, he was disappointing today. He looked like he couldn't get the ball out from his feet at the right time. But this is somebody last summer, I think it was, that we signed him onto a 3 or 4 year deal. I don't see, he's not going to play now, is he? There's no reason why he plays in front of Kyoso, whether that's in a back four or a back five. That's my only concern. What happens with him next? I'm really not sure.
Yeah, what I will say on James Stornelli is, because obviously, as we've been recording, actually, Peter Rourke has put out a tweet saying a number of clubs are on alert for the defender James Stornelli. And that sounds like a typical transfer, you know, an agent's gone. Just put a little tweet out about James Stornelli. That doesn't feel like any concrete link. But what I would say is, while it may not be great for his development in the short term because he's not going to play as much, I would much rather James Stornelli learn at the school of Peter Kyoso than the school of Carl Johnston. I would much rather him, you know, use Peter Kyoso as his sort of style guide and his mentor than Carl Johnston. I think James Stornelli and Harley Mills, I have visions, and I think we all got visions when they were at Wembley together, of those two being our fullbacks for years to come, the homegrown heroes, you know, on either side, bombing down the wing, solid at the back, pure passion. And I don't think Kyoso coming in necessarily kills that dream. That said, and this, take from this what you will, we supposedly turned down an offer from a Premier League club for James Stornelli for their under-21s, which was, I believe, reported to be around £600,000. If we receive a bid like that again, and we need money to fund our transfer ambitions, I would be more than happy to sacrifice James Stornelli for that. More than happy. I'd do it in a heartbeat. Because another thing that's come out this evening has concerned me quite a lot, because I feel like Darren Ferguson may have hit his head or something, because Ben Jones put a tweet out after the game saying Darren Ferguson says that he would be okay if the club finished their transfer business now. Really? That is really concerning to me. Really concerning. If we need to sell James Stornelli, and if that is basically him giving up on the chance of new signings coming in, obviously he says we're still trying and a bid for a striker has been turned down. So it's not all doom and gloom, but I just really hope that we do need at least two players. We have to get two attacking players in. We have to get a wide player and we have to get a striker. Because if we don't, all this optimism that was, you know, brought in by the PK deal will just be drained out of me. Like, those positions are essential and they have been for weeks, literally weeks. We've been saying we needed another winger since the opening day of the season. We've been saying we needed a striker since Bradley Iheanacho was transfer listed in May. Like, these are things that have to happen. And if they don't, and if Darren Ferguson's really happy with his squad, then I again find myself questioning his judgment, because he's either lying and trying to make the best of a bad situation, or he's just not a good judge of the quality we have in the building, because this simply cannot be the squad that we're in the transfer window with. It just can't. We will go down.
To say that we're happy with the squad and we're not signing anybody more, and well, he's happy if we don't sign another person, to me is extremely scary, because I think it is blatantly obvious that we need a striker to push either Brad or Gustav, whoever wants to be the second string striker, because I don't think, I think it's probably harsh to say, I don't think they're going to have, well, not for Gustav, but for Brad, I think it's probably harsh to say that he's going to have a poor season. But I think somebody's got to come in the building and push him, because I don't think he feels that that push. And we have to get a wide player, because, again, I feel like we don't know who our strongest winger is. So to get a winger that we know is strong and someone that we've been linked with before with someone like Ethan Archer, if we were good to go and get someone like him and bring him into the building, it will be a huge positive, because we'll have two good wingers in Frith and Archer, for example, or another winger that has some quality in the Football League. If we are happy with the squad now, then it's a damning indictment of where we think we're going to finish, because we've scored one open play goal. We've scored one penalty that really probably was a bit dubious. I don't think it really was a penalty. So to now say that we don't need anybody else is what is a worry to me. And ultimately, that is something that's going to scare me if we don't go and we don't sign two more players, but at minimum, because that's what I feel we need to regain a sense of attacking quality.
I think you might be forgetting some of the context of these Fergie comments. In my opinion, he is definitely not happy with the squad. And I think it's worth a reminder that Fergie kind of got publicly chastised by his own chairman in the week, where Dara kind of said, my manager needs to do more. He can't just keep asking for new players. I think it may have just been a comment just to keep Dara on side. You know, don't, let's not go and put a load of pressure on him to get a striker over the line in the last week of the window. There's no way the club are happy with the situation that's arisen. I agree with you, Chaz. If we don't sign a winger and a striker, we are probably down. But I truly believe that we'll get one within the next week. And I believe we're looking at the centre-back as well. So three more players in the door between now and September the 1st, which is deadline day, would be very good news. And with that, I think we're at the end of the episode. I would love to hear from you. How many signings do Posh need to make this season? Bradford fans, if you listened, were our comments fair? Do you think, you know, did Alexander get it wrong today? Or are you happy with the tactical plans that you had? And one more from you, Posh fans. Should we have started Oddo and Lindgren? Are you behind Fergie's decision there? Or do you think that's the sort of decision that should, you know, not necessarily get him out the door or anything like that, but be questioned and count against him in a sense? So do get in the comments. If you've enjoyed it, please do hit the like button, and ultimately please do subscribe. Our numbers are going up. We used to do a countdown to 1,000. We don't do that countdown anymore, but we still have ambitions of getting that 2,000, and they're going up pretty rapidly. So please, if you are listening, do subscribe. With that, that is the end. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Can John turn the light on before he does the intro?
Yeah, that's what I'm just doing. I was like, this is getting so dark.